please. What a blessing. Well, I'll never forget where I was, Brother Bill. Woo, glory. Never have got over it, praise the Lord. June 23rd, 1995, Lord changed my path, changed my heart, put me on a different trail. Hallelujah. There's some places you can go into and you can tell there's not much praying going on. There's other places you can go into and your soul just is flooded over. Amen. And that's where we're at tonight, and we thank the Lord for it. I tell you, you get to singing them hymns, and they do something for me. Amen. On June 23rd, 1995, my wife and I had been married 17 years, Brother Bill, and our divorce about ready to fall apart after 17 years. And a lost man, and had no idea what salvation was about. Raised a Catholic, went to church once or twice a year, and every once in a while I got to fill in for an altar boy. And things got so bad that my cousin seen I was heading for prison. And at 35 years old, 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning, beautiful sunshiny morning, I knelt down with my wife beside me, and we asked Jesus Christ to come into our heart.
Amen.
At 35 years old, I had no regrets. I didn't know what I got into. Boy, I tell you, I wish I'd have done it when I was a young one. I wished I'd have got when I was 10, 8, 9, 10 years old, and I wouldn't have went through all that. My mind's a mess. The things that I had to battle is a mess. But, oh, thank the Lord. He can bring it to that altar and get it right. Amen.
Amen.
We both got saved the same day. And it's so bad, Brother Dilbert, that my wife and I, all in this four-state area, I knew nothing but the wrong crowd. In this four-state area, I'm talking about in Joplin, Missouri, you can go 30 minutes each way and be in every different state. And I knew people in all four states, judges, lawyers, whatever it was, I knew them. Most of them was crooked in our county. And so I had to leave. I had to get out of the county. That's how bad it was. And so we went to a place called the Roloff Ministries in Corpus Christi, Texas, at the end of 1995. And I graduated in 1996 and got called to preach down there. And a brother by the name of Wiley Cameron Sr. run the place for 31 years. And he's one that mentored me for this kind of work. And I tell you, he was a hero of the faith. And we got a burden at that place, Brother Terry. And I think it was a year, year and a half after I left that place, Brother Cameron called me and asked me what I was doing. And I was just street preaching with the teens in a church we were in and taking them out and having a good time with them, showing them what life is. And he said, pray about taking the Rebecca girls home. And so I fasted for about 8 days, and I said, that's exactly what we want to do. And so we went down there, and we've been doing it ever since. And boy, I tell you, it's been good. At one time, Brother Dilbert, we had 90 girls in that home. And boy, we'd preach to them, they'd fall out and start praying and crying. And I mean, you never heard such singing in your life. Just a blessing. But I thank the Lord for his guidance and his provision and his faithfulness to us and all the things that we've got to go through and see. And it's all because the Lord started to work one day. And I thank the Lord for that time. We have several testimonies. I tell you, the Lord's been good to us. We thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord for y'all letting us be here. And then the Oneida guest house over there, what a blessing. And putting all the kids up down here and feeding us. And believe me, I know what it costs to feed the bunch. I mean, I cannot believe the hamburger, 20 pounds of hamburger, or no, now it used to be 30 pounds of hamburger at one meal. Hey, you know how much hamburger is? Hey, man, it's high, isn't it? Yeah, we try 30 pounds, praise God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But you say you complain, Brother Mac? Not at all. We got more than we need, probably. We got plenty. I'll tell you, the Lord's been good to us. Amen.
Yeah.
And Brother Dilbert's got to see the place out there, and it's just a blessing. And that was a miracle how that took place. And he's just been good to us.
Yeah.
Amen. And no complaints. But let's have a little bit of singing, and then we'll testify just a little bit. All right? Go ahead, Miss Laura. Lead them out on that Revelation 5.
Revelation 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open it to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and, lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Psalm 48:1-2, Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. I was in a valley, I was sinking low, I had slipped and fallen, I am in the goal. Condemnation threatened, I cried out in fear. Mercy said, Forgiven, come and fly up here. I love the Lord, he heard my cry. He lifted me way up high, set my feet upon a mountaintop. Just think of it, the Lord and King, the creator of everything, loves me with a love that won't stop. If you bear the burden of a sin-scarred life, past mistakes and failures haunt you in the night, you can be forgiven, for God's word is true. On the wings of
someday when my last line is written,
Delbert, whenever the girls come to us and they don't get a phone call for 30 days, you know, because, and we do that. I don't try to break the kids down. I'm not for that kind of stuff. The Holy Spirit and the Lord and all them things, the Lord knows how to get a hold of a person. I don't have to do anything. Just let Him. Amen. Yeah. The Lord knows how to break them up. He knows how to build them up. I mean, He'll use a preacher to preach, but you don't have to build, you don't have to hurt nobody. Amen. I mean, the Holy Spirit don't want you doing that stuff. What I say is we do that so they'll learn to draw their strength from the Lord. And sometimes, you know, a child first comes to you, sure, they're going to lie some. They're going to say some things. No, they don't want to be there. I don't either sometimes. Amen. I just soon be wetting a hook or something. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, there's times you just don't want to be around. But you know what happens first time they get their first phone call? I'm sorry, Mom. Amen. Sometimes God has to pull you out of something that you love the most and put you somewhere where you can't do anything but talk to Him. And that's what He'll do. And thank God He does. As hard as it is to go through it, I'm glad He does. And we have here with us a mom and a daughter here. And I'm going to let them testify. Her daughter ended up in a place where she had to do that. And the mom had enough sense to call and see if she could bring her daughter to the home. And being 19 years old, of course, she had to be there. And so she wanted something different. And so I'm going to let them come and testify and let them tell you what the Lord did, okay?
Hi, my name's Tiffany. I'm 19 from Texas. I've been in the home for a little bit over a year now. I got saved when I was 12, but soon after that, thinking that being a Christian was really boring, I told the Lord I wanted to live my way and have fun and then later on do what He wants me to do. So I lived in my sin, and going too far with it, I wound up in the hospital and being in there 4 days. I was in the recovery center, and I just, you know, was have nothing to do. And my dad asked me while I was in there what I was going to do when I left, and I didn't know. I hadn't thought about it, so that made me think about it. And I got to thinking what I was going to do with my life, and I realized that the Lord kept me alive, that that I didn't deserve to live, and the way I'd been living, and I just realizing that He allowed me to live, I knew I had some purpose in life. So I asked Him to show me what it was, and I surrendered to Him there. And 2 days later, He sent me to New Beginnings. And since I got here, I just wanted what all the staff had, and I just started doing what they did, and praying and reading my Bible, and I've learned a lot from doing that. And He's answered a lot of my prayers, just proving His love to me doing that. And for my first 6 months, I prayed for my dad to come to the home. Because he was on drugs really bad, and I didn't think I'd ever see him again. And the devil used that to try to make me leave, but I knew that wasn't the Lord's will for me to leave, so I stayed there anyways. And 6 months later, the Lord sent not only my dad to the home, but my mom too. And so that's just a big blessing. And and they've been here 8 months so far, so they've stuck it out with me. So... So it's just a blessing to be at New Beginnings and to learn how to be a young lady and just how to serve the Lord and everything to be around people that love the Lord. And even after I finished my program, they've allowed me to stay and help out and stuff. So it's just good to be here.
My name is Terry, and this is my baby. I'm so thankful that the Lord blessed me with her, because after two boys, our second one had Down syndrome, so it's like, okay, Lord, this is all that I can handle. And plus, having to put up with her dad, it's like, okay, I can't take no more. So I thought I was through having kids, but God seen otherwise, so I'm so thankful for that. But our plans don't always fit God's, and I'm so glad that He has a better plan for our lives than we think that we do. I grew up in a home that was very chaotic and dysfunctional, I guess. And my parents said they're saved, but they never served the Lord. They were alcoholics and fussing and fighting and leaving and breaking up all the time and just nothing but turmoil and abuse, all any kind you could think of. And I had a lot of hurt and anger and bitterness. But I had gone to church just about all my life from the church buses, and I thank God for the people that serve in those ministries. Amen. It sure makes a difference in a lot of kids' lives. It plants those seeds, and it is rewarding in the end. But I was married at 19, and we started off our relationship wrong, but God knew what he was doing, and we both got saved shortly after we were married and had a son that at the end of that year. And we served the Lord as best we could, or what we thought was right. We helped out in church with any position that we could, and we did okay for a little while. But I had this control problem that I didn't want to let go of, and I didn't give my husband the honor and glory that he needed, and the reverence and the submission. And I had a lot of walls built up that I didn't want to get hurt, and I kept him out of a lot of areas of my life. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to be the best wife I can be, so I guess I'll just be the best Christian and the best mother that I can be. But it doesn't work that way. I had everything out of order and out of whack, and so it caused a lot of other trouble in our lives. And I just regret the pain and the suffering that my kids had grown up in, like I did. I thought I had it all under control, and that my kids are not going to suffer from any of that. I'm going to keep them from it, but I wasn't able to, because I thought I was doing it, and I should have let the Lord do it. And that's just a big regret that I have. And my kids didn't have the stability of the Christian foundation that they should have had, even though we were both saved. Their parents were saved. It still wasn't what was correct. And our oldest son is struggling with that a lot, and because a lot of pain. But thank the Lord that he forgives and he restores, and he's faithful to his word, that we cry out to him, and he's always there to lift us up and to pick us up. But I guess about 2 years ago, I had just had enough of her dad again, and so I left and was getting our second divorce from each other. So, and she and Tiffany was out of control, and I guess we all were really, and searching for the answers in the wrong areas and not turning to the Lord. And God brought another trial and test into our lives with her being in the hospital, and it got my attention. And it was like, oh, before that, I had called the home to see if Jerry could go, because he was the one that needed to be fixed, not me. And so he didn't want to go if I didn't want to go, but I was like, okay, I'll go. But deep down, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to leave my child with someone else to take care of, and I wasn't ready to turn it all over to the Lord, I guess. But every time I called Brother Mac, the door was always open. Come on, come on, come on. And it's like, okay, Lord, I know you're making a way, but just not yet. And so I left again, and then this tragedy happened with Tiff, and it's like, Lord, and even before that, it's like, Lord, I've got to let go of her. I've got to give her to you, and whatever it takes, get her attention. And I just hate that sometimes it takes near-death situations to get our attention, and it doesn't have to be that way. And because God will bring us little things at first, and then it gets more drastic as it goes on. And so I'm just thankful that he forgives us, and that He is true and that he loves us. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that, and thankful for the Max that they still had a door open the last times I called. So I'm just proud to be here, and just want to serve the Lord in the best way that I can, and to honor and glorify his name, and to be a testimony, and so that we can just glorify his name.
Amen.
Amen. The next lady here, we'll have testify, and then we'll sing a little bit here. But Shanique will come to us. She was 15, I believe. And she was taken from her family at the age of 3 years old, and hadn't seen them until last month. So she was absent from them for 17 years. And she got to see them last month for the first time since she was a baby. And she was called to Africa with Mike Dobbins, or Mike Flick, one of the two there. And Brother Mike called our pastor and said, it's not time to come. It's very dangerous over there, so she couldn't go. So she's still with us, and I want to have her testify right quick.
Hi, my name is Shaniqua, and I'm 20 from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I was adopted when I was 5 into a good Christian home. We went to church every time the doors were open. But I was mad at God, and I thought that if he was God, he wouldn't have let all the things happen to me that happened. So I played church. I went there. I could memorize scripture. I could sing the songs and be a sweet little girl. Whatever they wanted me to do, I did it. And I played the role. And but as I got older, it got harder to start just doing that stuff, because it wasn't embedded in my heart. I had the outward appearance. And I just went to school, and I was a different person, which caught up with me. And my adopted mom saw that it was time for me to get some help. She tried other things, but nothing ever worked. And so she sent me to the home on February 26, 2008. And I came in the home, and I wanted a difference, and I wanted a change, but I didn't want God to change me, and God was all over that place. And I was kind of upset. And so nothing really was working, helping me. The girls praying for me, and say, I walk by my bed and say, I love you, and I'm praying for you. And I just look at them. I don't want you praying for me. And I came in on a Tuesday night. Wednesday we packed up, and Thursday we left, and we came out here to the Tennessee area. And like I mentioned before, I'm from Grand Rapids. I don't know if maybe it's just Grand Rapids, but they don't yell at you when they're preaching. So I came down here, and they got to yelling. And I wasn't listening to nobody. And but one preacher did get through, his name, Brother David Peacock, and he preached on how all our righteousness is as filthy rags, but God can use this dirty, nasty rag to wipe apart or clean his hands or something. He still can use you no matter what you've done. And I was sitting in that pew, and I was thinking, while he's giving the invitation, I was thinking, God can't use me. And he was like, God can use you no matter what you've done. And I would sit there and I say, but he knows everything that I've done. He said, he'll wipe all that stuff away. He can make you clean. And I would just sit there, and I didn't want it at first, you know. And so I didn't get saved, but God didn't let me eat or sleep or nothing. And so March 6th, we were just walking around the church and getting ready to go, and we were on a church on top of a hill, and I was like, if we get in those vans, God's going to roll those vans down that hill. I'm going to die, and I'm going to go to hell, and I'm going to be the only one in these vans that go to hell. And I was just walking around, and it scared me, and Brother Mike was just talking to us, and we were in the sanctuary, and I remember it, and there was three sets of pews, and then I was in the first pew, the first one coming down to your right. And I sat there, and I said, I can't do this anymore. And I got down and got saved on March 6th, 2008. Got in that van, and the man driving our van was like, what are you smiling about? And I said, if God flips these vans, I'm going to heaven. So since then, God's been good to me more than I deserve. I didn't think that I would be able to graduate school. Everybody told me it was impossible for me to, and God allowed that to happen. Didn't think God could use me. God's still using me, though not where my heart desires. But this is another desire for me, to help other people get through what God allowed me to get through. And I got to see my family last month after not seeing them for 17 years, and it was amazing. Like, I mean, just to be a testimony and keep it up, and just to hear them say, you are and you have what we want. And I was like, I just kept on telling them, you can get it, you can get it. But they didn't want to let go of the things they're in, but prayerfully they will. And God's just working slowly and surely in them. And I just thank the Lord for all that he's done for me. I thank the Lord for the Max, because when I didn't have family, they took me in as my family. So this is another part of my family, and I just thank the Lord for them.
Hello, Mama, I just called to tell you all those tears you have shed for me, they were not in vain. Something happened tonight while traveling down a country road. I thought you should be the first to know that I am not the same. And all those dreary days are over now, and all those sleepless nights are past, and all those prayers that you have prayed so long, they're answered now at last. For I'm not the one I used to be, and Mama, you can't sleep tonight, for I now everything's all right. Now I remember every night before I go to sleep, I hear you ask the Lord my soul to keep, that I might find the way. And I'm so thankful through all my lonely nights and wasted years, your prayers kept ringing in